As we come together this Sunday after Pentecost, we celebrate the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. And this particular feast is a little different than most of the feasts that we celebrate. Usually when we come together and we celebrate a feast outside of our normal liturgical calendar, that either is in reference to a particular person, the saint, or else it is in reference to a particular event. Something happened in the life of the church. But this feast is a feast that really is kind of focuses on our central kind of idea or tenet of our Catholic faith, that our God is one person, or three persons, one in unity and majesty. And that idea of the Holy Trinity really sets us apart as a Christian people. And at the heart of that is simply the idea that our God is a God that is not a static reality, but a dynamic reality of eternal relationship. The Father who loves and begets the Son, that love that is returned by the Son to the Father, and within that exchange of perfect love, the Holy Spirit too becomes a part of that experience of the Godhead. But what we also celebrate in this feast is that the love of God that we find and that we worship is a love that is not just simply internal, but a love that overflows to creation. And there's two things, is with that in the background, there's two things that kind of sit on my heart as I sat with the readings today. And the first is just simply our first reading, which I think is beautiful. It's a beautiful reading. We have Holy Wisdom, Sophia, which we typically associate with the Holy Spirit. But today, as the readings are set out, we clearly understand that as the Son, as the one that stood by the Father in his act of creation, who was with him, witnessed all that he did, witnessed all that he loved. But then right at the end, we hear that the Father delighted in him, and he played before the Lord. And in playing before the Lord, that he found his delight in the human race, that he loved what the Father loved. And then that simple sense of revelry perhaps tells us as much as we need to know about the Trinity as anything else. Of a joy that revels in the love that is given, in the love that is received, and the love that is returned. And not only that, but secondly, that love is expansive enough that it embraces God's creation. You and me are called in that same great dynamic relationship with God that simply plays before God, that rejoices in the love that is given. Our other two readings focus on the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's clear from both of those readings that the gift is not just there to help us or to help us get along the way, but that somehow that Spirit draws us in to the divine life and the divine exchange. That the Spirit itself fills us so that we can joyfully respond to the gift that God gives us, that we can recognize with thanksgiving the ways in which God has poured out his love upon us and calls us into relationship with him. And those two things are the things that, like I said, kind of sit on my heart. And what I mean by that simply is there's something about this feast that I think really does call us to revelry, to joy, to play, And I mean play in many ways, like little children, laughing, rejoicing, knowing simply of the Father's love for us. And perhaps a question for our consideration is to simply ask, when did I feel that kind of joy, that sort of revelry, that happiness in simply being loved and being close to the Lord and playing before Him and knowing that the Father found great joy in that play? I enjoy watching my nieces and nephews play without purpose, without really making anything that is substantive, without doing something that's productive, but simply playing. Now, let's be honest, that usually at some point turns into a fight. But there's something very joyful about watching people play. Play doesn't have a reason. Play isn't about building something that we can point to later. Play is simply rejoicing in companionship, in relationship with the Father, in allowing ourselves just to revel in being together. I really do think, my brothers and sisters, that we're called to play before the Lord, to rejoice, to waste time, to be glad and grateful for what it is that God gives us. Because what we celebrate on this feast is not just the ways in which the Father loves and begets the Son. It's not just about how the Son receives that and returns it to Him. It's not just the dynamic of the Holy Spirit that binds all together, but a realization that by our baptism, we are called to that same dynamic experience, that God loves us enough that He calls us into that relationship. And so we are called to be a people that rejoices, that stands by the Father as He creates, as He blesses. And in witnessing that, to be joyful, playful in our faith, to recognize the goodness of God, and to really and truly just simply be thankful for the goodness of God in our lives, in a manner that allows us to see the suffering that is there, but nevertheless never loses sight of the great goodness and generosity that God has poured out upon us in the ways that He smiles upon us, that He desires in love our goodness and salvation, and that He wants us to know hope and life and a lightheartedness in the way in which we live, so that, as a professor of mine said in seminary, we can be outrageously happy in this life and the next. Amen.